Conan O'Brien said, well, once again, looks like all the foremost experts on climate change are being a bunch of negative Nancys. Other tweets from Conan 1. I'm looking for some anonymous online accounts that have thoughts on Dogecoin. Can anyone help out? And one more. I haven't had one Freudian slip in over a year, and I am trying hard penis not to mess that up. Pete Holmes spoke to High Times, and he said, something I spend time feeling sad about and having empathy for are people who have the compulsion but don't have the talent. That I feel is really, really sad. If someone is reading this and they feel like it might be them, I do think there's a certain extent to which you can improve and work at it and fake it till you make it and get in your bones through repetition. So please don't read this as give up. That's not what I'm saying. I'm actually a big believer of sticking with it and growing. There's a great Lorne Michaels quote, show business isn't fair, talent isn't fair. Meaning show business is like talent, something giving in such gratuitous amounts to Eddie Murphy and very sparingly to others. I've always interpreted it that Lorne would have loved to be on the show, but instead he chose to follow his talent and produce it. That's not fair. It's not unfair. It is what it is. George Lopez encourages us to tell people how much they mean to you. I'm not going to make fun of his taco business because he's saying something nice here. As a teenager, George Lopez said he often thought he couldn't imagine life without his grandmother who raised him. George told FaithWire, when I was growing up, my grandmother was tough on me, but also at times I would look at her when I was in junior high and high school, and I would look at her and say to myself, if anything happens to her, I don't know what I would do. I'd be lost without her. Before she passed away in 2009, Lopez recalled that his wife at the time told him to go visit his grandmother at the hospital to thank her and tell her everything you want to tell her. She passed away 2 hours after that. The first time she left me was when I told her it was okay to leave me. So when they do go, you're not living a life of regret because also people do that. Like I remember somebody would always have a fight with their mom and I would say, instead of trying to change her, just be with her. You're not going to change her. They never understood that. When she was gone, they said, you know, you were right. Why would I try to change someone instead of just sitting there with them? Joe Coy is a big fan of Rob Schneider because one day Joe Coy was watching Deuce Bigelow Male Gigolo. And there was a scene in the movie where the dad eats what he calls a raspberry bibinga, which referenced a popular Filipino dessert. Joe Coy was like, I remember just screaming out loud, yo, raspberry bibinga, that's Filipino. Just the one word gave me an identity, the possibility of making it. So as people become more famous, eventually Joe Coy meets Rob Schneider and he says, you got to tell me why you put raspberry in your bibinga. Schneider said, the reason why is because he struggled with some type of systemic racism. He wanted to say bibinga and the writers were like, no, Robert, you can't. He said Schneider told him the decision to add raspberry was made out of fear people wouldn't understand it's a dessert. He had to settle for it, said Joe Coy. That's the kind of crap that doesn't sound like a big deal but is. That's our food. Why do we have to misrepresent it? That inspired him for his own special Joe Coy Live from Seattle, which came out in 2017. Joe Coy said, I wanted to make sure I give an identity to up-and-coming kids that are mixed race or Filipino just to have something that inspire them. When I'm doing an impersonation of my mom or a joke about nursing, it gives us an identity that makes us proud, and that's what it's all about. We're all relatable. It has nothing to do with ethnicity or race. Funny is funny. I want to show that it's possible to stay true to yourself, talk about your culture, and still be funny. I always felt like an ambassador for my culture. When I was a kid, I always used to brag about food because there was no Filipino restaurants. I always felt like I was bragging because I just wanted to give myself an identity. I was proud of my mom and my family. So when I shot In His Elements, it wasn't even trying to be about making a funny stand-up special. It was about giving an opportunity to a bunch of Filipinos that are struggling. I was like, I'm going to let every single Filipino in on this one. I got a Filipino cameraman, DJ, producers, rappers, dancers. I bought Filipino comics. We celebrate the culture and the food. That was me for 30 years wishing and praying that we had something on TV we could identify with, and that's why I did it. The Hollywood Reporter asked Bill Lawrence, creator of Scrubs and some other great shows, what could you get away with then, specifically here about Scrubs, that you wouldn't be able to do now? Bill Lawrence said, on Scrubs, we did an episode in which Judy Reyes and Sarah Chalk were trying to get medical marijuana to relieve a chemotherapy patient. Scrubs was like 15 to 20 years ago, but we were told we can't do that story, even with doctors doing it for a cancer patient. And I was annoyed by it because I thought it was stupid, so I literally said, all right, how about the patient is a virgin and dying and they want to get a prostitute? And they were like, yeah, you can do that, which is what we put on TV, but we shouldn't have put it on TV, but we did because I was annoyed and petulant and a kid. Back when Spin City was on TV, you were only allowed to say the word ass 3 times in an episode of TV, and it would have people that would police it. And I handed in a script of Spin City that had 4 asses, and the standards and practices person sent me a note that said, you're only allowed to use the word ass 3 times, and you have it 4 times on these pages. And then it says, please pick your ass. The Hollywood Reporter spoke to Ted Danson. They were like, hey, Ted Danson, you've played a lot of different characters in your career. You've played Meathead, Evil, Rich, Smart. You've even played Ted Danson. Where are you happiest or most at ease as an actor? Ted Danson said, the best joke is the slow, dumb joke. And the older I get, the further away I seem to be. I worked for Mike Schur on The Good Place, and it was like paragraphs of the most heightened Shakespearean language, and it drove me nuts because I had to work so hard for it. But I like doing drama that's funny, and I like funny that has a source of either pain or sadness that's genuine at the core of it. Perhaps next time out, I'll pick something that's more Fargo-esque than Cheers. But the opportunity to work with Tina Fey and Robert Carlock on Mr. Mayor came along, and it was a no-brainer because it was this different strain of comedy that I hadn't experienced. Mr. Mayor's pretty good. You should watch it. From the New York Post, a couple years ago at the Comedy Cellar, a guy got up during Jessica Kirsten's show and left with his girlfriend. And Kirsten said, oh, you guys are such an attractive couple. I hope you have a great night together. I can't even imagine what you're going to do. Everyone laughed because I was complimenting them. The dude was drunk, and then he stopped and said, you suck, and your hair looks like crap. A lot of times comics will snap at a heckler, maybe once or twice a year. I was so angry, I literally put the mic back at the stand, got off the stage, and went to where the guy was paying the check. The whole crowd heard me, put my finger in his face, and said, don't ever talk to me like that again. You are an animal, and you have no respect for women. I turned to his girlfriend and said, I feel sorry for you. The way he just talked to me, he must be horrible to you. That was it, and I walked back on stage, and everyone stood up and gave me a standing ovation. I made him look like a complete idiot. And from Worcester Mag, comedians share their favorite jabs at the city most of them love. Bill McMillan said, welcome to Worcester, the city that means well. Worcester Mag writes, to be fair, McMillan used the joke for other cities, too, mostly Providence. But for poet, humorist, and generally funny guy David McPherson, that's still the joke that best sums up the city, saying it's classic. Worcester is said to have something of a self-image problem. The fact is that the city has a great sense of humor and takes itself far less seriously than, say, that bigger Massachusetts city to the east. You know that one? Comedian Brian O'Donnell said, Worcester is a city full of angry sailors without an ocean. It doesn't literally make sense, but it really captures a certain essence. Sean Connolly remembers a joke Last Week Tonight host John Oliver made a few years back. That joke was, Clark University looks like Hogwarts if it was in the set of The Wire. Sean Connolly said, I mean, in less than 15 words, he perfectly encapsulates Clark and its relationship to Maine South even more than he probably initially knew. Comedian Maurice Smith says, Worcester is Massachusetts' witness program. Can't do something in Boston? Where do they go? Worcester. And Nikki Luparelli's joke is, what's something you never hear from people in Worcester? Where to steer on vacation? That's your comedy news for today. Follow this show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever you get your shows. See you tomorrow.